All right, let me set the stage for you. It's a sunny Saturday afternoon in May, 1983. I had come to Johns Hopkins that day to celebrate some type of academic accomplishment as part of the Center for Talented Youth. My parents, of course, were proud of that, and they wanted a picture of something, me, by something that says Johns Hopkins University. So there's the South Gate on the Homewood campus. Johns Hopkins University, carved in stone, mounted in a brick wall at the bottom of the hill by Shriver. These days, the bottom of the hill by Mason Hall. And we walked down there and took a photo. So it is 1983. I look like your typical, these days, 1983 period movie teenager. Glass glasses with plastic frames that made me feel like a social outcast, a plaid shirt that I didn't love, and a scowl on my face, because what teenager likes to stand posed for a picture? But if you had asked me, am I happy in general, I could have said yes. I could have said, I want to take this academic achievement, and I want to take my North Star, which is a desire to help people, and do something with that. Except at 13, what did I know about helping? And what did I know about communities of people? I thought maybe I could be a scientist, discover something that would help a whole lot of people. Or maybe I could be a physician and help people one-on-one. Both of those seemed like careers with well-worn paths where I could follow achievements and goal setting and milestones and know what I was doing. Little did I know that at twice that age, now I'm 26, and I get to come back to Johns Hopkins, this time as a faculty member at the School of Public Health. Could not have predicted that. And by that point, I had been through a variety of things, and now I've been here for almost 29 years. And over those 29 years, I haven't followed a strict path that I thought I was going to follow. I've been able to explore, experiment with, and expand on my dreams in ways that I never would have guessed on that day in 1983. And to have an employer that's been willing to let me do that and find a way to find joy in my work has been amazing. So let me take you on parts of the journey. So I graduated from high school thinking I was going to be a chemist, that whole scientist idea I had earlier, except I quickly learned I was not meant for post-high school science labs. And we nixed that idea. Then I thought, okay, my first job was at a boarding home for older adults. Maybe I could be a healthcare administrator. That lasted a hot second. I did want to be in healthcare, but I wanted to study the healthcare system with an economic lens, try to re-incentivize it and fix the healthcare system. Well, the latter part hasn't worked, but I did want to study healthcare, and so that guided my choice of major, graduate school, and getting the job at Hopkins. And apparently, I was at least pretty good at the research because I went from assistant to associate to full professor following the typical steps, you know, all the accomplishments and goal setting and milestones. But along the way, I realized that it wasn't just the typical steps. I was open and vulnerable and found there were a few other things I liked. I liked mentoring. I liked it enough that when I had a chance to give a TEDx talk in 2017, that's what I talked about. And it turns out I liked teaching. So that when I gave a lecture to celebrate my promotion to full professor, and this was 2011, I talked about teaching, and I was told very few faculty have ever done that. Great, I like it. And I got to apologize to my mom, my picture-taking mom, because I had doubted why she loved teaching when I was a teenager. It also sent a signal to senior leadership at the university, and when the vice dean position at Cary became open, they guided me to it, helped me get an interview, and I decided to take it. So now I had new groups of people I could help, the students and the staff and the faculty and the alumni at Cary, to experience our educational enterprise and a whole new set of goals, vice dean to something bigger than that. Great. So I get to 2015. I met two amazing coaches. Coach number one says to me, "Why are you working yourself to the point of exhaustion every day?" I couldn't give her an intrinsically motivated answer. She said, "I'm going to leave you with one piece of advice. If you can figure out your authentic answer, people will want to follow you." There was a second coach, and her mantra was align your values and your actions, but I barely knew what my core values were at the time. And so I had these two amazing women giving me incredible advice that I didn't know what to do with. I felt vulnerable. 2019, I felt even more vulnerable. The dean who had brought me over to the business school from the School of Public Health decided to retire. I said, "Let me put my name in." I didn't get very far going for that position. That made me feel really vulnerable because that whole path of vice dean to something bigger seemed to go out the door. 2020 comes along. Who didn't feel vulnerable in 2020 with COVID? What are we going to do about COVID? How are we going to make decisions? And maybe I'm going to get it sooner or later. But it did give me time. And I wrote a haiku in June of that year. And the first line was, light paths to choose hope. And I said, that's part of the answer I should have given Misty back in 2015. So 20 moves into 21. And I'm being asked to do things for part of my job where I'm like, you know what? I'm not sure who I'm helping or if I'm really helping anybody anymore. Let me talk to the dean about succession planning. And by mid-21, I'm back to a faculty member, just a faculty member. Some people might think of that as a demotion. I thought it was the best thing that could ever happen to me because now I had even more time to ponder that intrinsic answer. And I now have an 8-word phrase on my whiteboard. It says, empathetically instigate authentic pursuit of reflectively discerned purpose. I didn't go from the 5-word phrase to an 8-word phrase in a snap, I can assure you. Multiple iterations. Everyone began with empathetically. Everyone included authentic pursuit. I did switch from empower to instigate because I don't have much power to give away. And I want to instigate the people I work with and the communities I build to find their own power and grab it and run with it. And I first said, purposefully define success. And yes, I want the people I work with and inspire to define their own success. But I really want them to look inside themselves and dig deep and discern their purpose first. Follow that and success is likely to come. So now when I show up for work every day, what I could not have imagined when I was 13 is that I show up for my dream job as my dream self. And that's a privilege that very few people have. And I realize how lucky I am to be in a place where I can do that. So what do I do every day? I like to get to know people. I can't possibly help you to be the best version of your authentic self through working with you if I don't know you. And whether I talk to you once or become your long-term mentor, we're going to talk about how to explore, experiment with, and expand your dreams so that you can help make the world a better place too. When I teach and research, really that's all about expanding what we know, exploring, and doing more. And when I do take on new leadership roles now, because I don't want to be vice dean ever again, but when I do take on new leadership roles now, I look for other people who share this dream of exploring, experimenting with, and expanding and helping lots of people to do that. I still have a digital version of that 1983 photo on my laptop. And when I look at it, I think to myself, what advice would this 55-year-old version of me give to the 13-year-old version? And it's 3 pieces. Piece number 1, you don't have to have everything figured out. Vulnerability and openness to change are good. And let me let you in on a little secret. Nobody has everything figured out anyway. Piece number 2, imagine all the ways you can think of to help people. Imagine all the people and communities you might imagine helping or building. Then double that. And if you're open to new ideas and imagination and reinventing yourself when you need to, you'll never run out of people to help and you will not have reached that number even if you double it. And the 3rd piece of simple advice I would have given to my 13-year-old self, for Pete's sake, smile. When you smile, that North Star that's inside of you of wanting to help other people and wanting other people to know that you want to help them will shine through and you will be able to do more than you ever imagined. Thank you.